This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Joel.
Hi, Fiona.
Today you were mentioning it might be a great thing to talk about weeds.
I do. I want to talk about weeds.
And weeds are just, according to the dictionary, weeds are just a plant that is growing where you don't want it to grow.
Well, that's, yes, I think that's the human interpretation of what weeds are, because we have an idea in our mind about what beauty is and what our gardens should look like. However, there's another purpose to weeds, which is really beautiful. And I think, actually, it started from somebody in Australia a long time ago with a terrible drought that Australia has a tendency to go through time and again. You must know that. And they realized that the only thing in a terrible drought that seems to pop up are weeds. And so they studied the weeds. Mm. And they said, oh, this is what is holding the soil from blowing away. It is nurturing the soil. It's normalizing the soil so other things can grow. So there's a whole synchronicity thing. There's a whole reason why weeds grow where they grow. They're doing a job. They're needed to do something to naturalize the soil, to neutralize, to normalize. Weeds are the most amazing.
They are. And a lot of them, like dandelion, which people are desperate to get out of their lawns, are incredibly healing.
Oh, yeah. They make dandelion coffee, which is also very healing.
It helps the liver. Mm-hmm. And I always suggest, I ask the gardener not to pull out the dandelions, because I take them, sometimes I'll just eat them, sometimes I'll give them to the cats or the dogs, sometimes I'll just put them with the tea and put them in with the tea in the morning, because it really helps to cleanse the liver. And the flower is so pretty on the dandelion. So oftentimes weeds are healing, not always, some of them are poisonous, but there are a lot of weeds. The energy is always stronger of weeds too.
Yeah, and I think some things that are nettles, for example, that itch and burn you, but there's a leaf that grows right next to that, that if you pull that and rub it on your skin, it takes away the sting from the nettles. So it's the way the plant kingdom is taking care of our Mother Earth, and the weeds have a great job in doing that. And so, you know, if you have a little bit of land and you have weeds, one of the suggestions I would love to put forth is allow part of your garden to go to weed. See how, you know, over time, how your soil is where the weeds are, as opposed to the soil where your grass is, for example. Or where your vegetables are. But also understand that some weeds help the vegetables as they're growing, helps the plants as they're growing. So I just want us all to change our minds about
weeds.
Weeds, you know?
I've always had a section of a garden wherever I've had a garden that was weed part. Like a lot, even though it all burnt, the stinging nettles came back. There's a big stand of stinging nettles there now. And also the other plant that I love, but everybody hates it, are the morning glories.
Oh, I love morning glories.
Because they just take over everything. And I just have to let them go in certain areas because they're spectacular flowers. And they have this very cheerful kind of energy. I love morning
glories. They really do. I had in the little cabin, I had a laundry line outside. Two strong laundry line with a post at either end. And I grew morning glories up the posts so that the laundry, as it dried in the wind, could get the energy of the morning glories.
The colors are so vibrant. And then the other thing is 4 o'clocks. We have something up at our house called 4 o'clocks. They grow really tall, up to 6 feet tall, and they have these beautiful little flowers. And they mutate the flowers. So instead of just pink, you'll have striped pink or red and striped red and yellow. A lot of them went with the fire, but there are a few that have come back.
Now, here's the interesting thing when we get to these these weeds and these things that grow naturally, because they say really it naturalizes the earth. So whatever we do to the earth and however much poison we put in a Roundup, the weeds will naturalize it, heal it. But the other thing I'm pondering these days is when we have a weed that has the colors, like you said, there's some that pink and some that get striated. And I don't know about you, but colors have an energy to me. They yes, mean definitely. Something. Mm-hmm. And so when I see the plants doing the pink, I think of, heart-centered, really heart-centered. So that's bringing some. And the white is spirit-centered to me, and pink and white is heart and spirit-centered. And I know that on our land, behind, near the Sweat Lodge, grows the most wonderful stand of datura. So I always honor that.
I love
that.
Datura too.
So do
very
I.
Very poisonous and very beautiful.
Yes, well, it's another
medicinal plant.
Medicinal plant.
It is, if you know what you're doing, people do know. It's like belladonna. People know how to use that as well. It's very, very poisonous.
And I feel like with the plants like the one I just mentioned, Datura that has a psychotic element. There's also like that in the cup of gold, where you do things like if you offer tobacco and take a flower and put it under your pillow at night, you don't have to ingest it, but it helps you with your dreams. A lot of indigenous people do that. So when I see all of a sudden around the Sweat Lodge, which is where we do so many prayers and healings and ceremony, we have growing datura, we have so much sage, white sage growing around, and we have sweet grass growing. We planted some years ago, and what came from the sweet grass then is the sweetest soil to grow our tomatoes in, which is phenomenal. So, you know, weeds are sacred. They have their real place in it. And if we can honor the work that they're doing, we don't have to see them as evil, and we have to get them out of our garden.
Or poison them and then poison the earth.
Yeah.
I had a person I knew once who lived, came from Syria, and she said they would have the datura, you know, the yellow ones. Mm. They'd make those trees.
Cup of gold.
Yeah. They'd grow them all along there in their yard. And they would put all their, because they dined mostly outside, so they would put all their tables under those. And they said it made for the best parties, and because it's slightly aphrodisiac, right? It has a slight change. It relaxes people. You don't want to take it or drink it, but it can, I guess for them, it made the party is really good.
The house I had in Laurel Canyon had a cup of gold, but it had been planted when the house was built in 1914.
Oh my gosh.
So it was a tree that covered the whole front of the house, and the entrance to the house, you had to wind through this pathway of cup of gold all the way up the house, and it became a landmark. When I bought the house, and of course everything had to be termited because of laws, and they said, you're going to lose that plant. And I said, no, we're not termiting the house then. It's in that way we cover it and lose a plant. The plant is very important to the house and to the energy that it gives to the house, which was so mystical. The author Robert Heinlein used to live there, and he wrote some of his best books there. He wrote a book about the house itself there. So no, we were not going to. So we did something like freezing the walls inside the house to do the termites. But no, it's absolutely beautiful plant. And so things that are either psychedelic, doesn't mean you have to take them to be psychedelic.
And don't try to take any of the datura. It's just far too dangerous.
The Jimson weed is another word for it. And it is dangerous. But there, you can honor the plant because it does good work.
Yes, it does. And as I've said, the people who are herbalists or even some of the homeopathic things, they take these very, like belladonna and all those different ones that are actually pretty lethal, even foxglove, which is,
nightshade?
No, they are the one for the heart, but it can stop the heart too. Anyway, but if an herbalist knows what to do, it's a whole different different thing because they know how to administer it. But for anybody just to go ahead and take it,
Well, it's the same thing with a lot of the plants. Like, you know, when we've done podcasts with Luke, for example, who's done the ayahuasca and various things, but that's done by, you know, with an old shaman who's been working with these plants and knows these plants, and the plants speak to them about how to do. That's another thing altogether. So those of us who know nothing about plants, you know, it would be really good if we stopped saying this is a good plant, this is a bad plant, because they all have a role.
And the a lot of the plant, like Digitalis is what I was thinking about, and they've modeled quite a bit of heart medication from that particular plant. Like, it's dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, but they have created, they first of all used it in mild doses, and now they synthesized it, I think.
Yeah, so, I think a lot of the pharmaceuticals are doing that. That's why they're going into the rainforest and gathering all these plants and learning about them. What's his name? Terence McKenna and his brother. His brother's doing a lot of fabulous work on saving the plants in the rainforest to study for healing purposes.
I think they're already using quite a lot. Like aspirin used to be white willow bark, right? I think that's what they
used. Yes, white and red willow bark. Mm. And so in the Lakota way, when we... Those of us who are pipe carriers, which is a sacred tool for prayer, if you carry a pipe and you smoke the pipe, what we use in the pipe is red willow bark. And because the red... it's actually very clever because the sweat lodges are very, very hot.
Yeah.
And... it can lead to, if you don't drink a lot of water before you go in, you can come out with a very bad headache. But, you know, the pipe is something that cures and hears prayers and carries your prayers as you smoke the pipe. So what would you put in it but something that is healing, you know?
Practically every plant, and especially practically every weed, is a healer of some kind.
Exactly.
And you don't have to ingest it, and I would suggest you don't unless you know somebody who's an herbalist and can tell you what to do. But you can put your hand on it, or you can take a leaf of it and hold it or carry it. And you can ask, we had a 50-acre property in New York, and what I used to do sometimes is just go out, most of it was wild, just go out and say, is there a plant that I need today that can help? And also then I say, and how can I help it? So sometimes it might be doing something for the plant. Sometimes I would need the help from the plant.
That's beautiful that you're asking. It's a circular thing. What can I do to help you? What can you do to help me?
And that's the same with the trees. I would often go and work with the trees too. I was very close to some 400-year-old white pines we had. And then also the sugar maples.
Oh, lovely.
I love the sugar maples, and the plant kingdom is here for us and to communicate with us. And as we do that, we realize that we're surrounded by nature, and nature surrounds us. And it's such a healing, comforting feeling, just like we've spoken about with animals before. And everywhere we go, almost, there's nature. And, you know, unless you go to the highlands of Scotland. But then you have...
That's heather. So when I married Luke's dad, I carried heather because he's Scottish. So I carried purple heather when I got married, which has other meanings too. I love the interaction between plants. And I love what you said about asking the plant what you could do for it. I know when we gather sage at the sacred times to burn the sage. Anyway, wherever I go, like in my little tiny bag here, I've got a little pouch of tobacco because I always offer tobacco and then ask if I can take it.
I do that with flowers too.
Yeah.
Most of the time I don't have tobacco, but I offer a piece of hair.
Oh, nice.
So it's not... You can also offer saliva, which for most people would be gross. But it's a give back. Or in the dry weather, if the plant needs a little water, I'll carry water and just give it a little bit of water instead. So, you know, the plant kingdom is are beings. Each of them is a being, and we can really be helped and healed by these. As I said, almost all medicine, not all, but much of medicine that we know today has originated from plants.
And here's another thing. If you move somewhere or wherever you are, look at what grows around you naturally. Because what grows around you naturally is what Earth has decided you need.
Yeah, they always say that I've heard that too, mm-hmm. that if you've lived on a property for a long time and you get sick there, there's almost always a plant somewhere there that will help you to heal yourself.
Well, that's how doing the sweat lodge, all of a sudden the sage started growing and the datura was growing, and it's just, they know the sacredness of what we were doing. And then the rattlesnakes would come, which was wonderful. For me, understanding the gift that they are, and they would bury themselves in the lava rocks, around the lava rocks. So when I went down to start the sweat lodge and start to build the fire, I would always offer tobacco before I go to the rocks, to the wood, to everything, and the fire pit. But I'd also offer rocks to the grandfather or grandmother rattlers that were there, and the babies that were there, and include them in the ceremony. And they never bothered me. One time there was a baby rattler, and as you know, those are more
super dangerous. Super dangerous. Because they don't know how to control their
poison. And I had a bunch of kids there, and I said, yeah, because they don't know, but they had, the babies. And I said, well, watch what happens here. So I was talking very gently to the baby rattler, and I said, I'm going to make you safe and sound. And it was coiled already, right? And I placed some rocks in a circle around it. I said, now you're safe, and you can watch us and bless us as we do. So talking with it, bringing it in. And the kids were seniors at a school doing their first sweat lodge. They were really amazed at how things like that work, how reach out to them. I mean, don't reach out to
the snake. No, and if you don't,
it frightens. They're very frightened by people.
Yeah, rattlers will mostly be gone before you're anywhere near them. But if they are rattling, it's best to get away unless you know how to do what Jill's saying.
Well, whenever you're out in the country, just listen. And instead of babbling on or talking, listen, because if you've come across too close to one, they will rattle to say, don't come any nearer, don't
just
they
get
don't
away.
Want to, they don't want to
they don't.
Vent their venom and on you. They you know, their purpose is not to hurt you, it's just to keep you away from them.
Keep them safe because they're mm-hmm. very fragile with their thin skin and so forth. And what we used growing up in South Africa, what my dad taught us to do was to stamp our feet as we walked. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the snakes, except for the puff adder, which I never encountered, but I did encounter mambas, if you stomp, even those will usually go mm-hmm. away. It's just if you happen to be, like I was chased by a pink mamba as a kid, but I was faster up the stairs than it was. But it was, I was in its space. I was picking mulberries, and it wanted something there. And it saw me, and I stood there and did something you're not supposed to do in Africa, which is run. But here in America, they say, the sun bear told us that you've got to actually get away from the rattlers. They're warning you, so they want you to leave.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there was
this
wonderful story in of the Penny, who's the animal communicator. She started animal communication, who rescued a rattler, and it was tied in a fence of some kind. Mm. And she rescued it, and it didn't bite her. Mm. And the next day it came to her window. Mm. To say thank you again, and then it left. It didn't come back. But the nature is working with us. Instead of being, and the reason we're scared is, but you can't
communicate. Separate ourselves.
And so if we move from the heart, my husband's a wonderful communicator with birds, and he said, and with cats, but he said that they don't see us as. They don't see us as what we see. They see an energy only. Mm-hmm. So however if you're coming from the heart, that is what mm-hmm. they perceive. And so if we can work with, whether it's the weeds or the other parts of nature, if we can really today start to walk and breathe from the heart, speak from the heart, and just sit with a tree and just be with the tree from the heart, mm-hmm. or with a cat or with a bird that's coming. You know, if they sit there and they turn their heads to the side, they're looking at you. So if you, and if you sit with a weed, like the Jules plants do, they touch you. Your mm-hmm. plant reaches out for you.
And what I like to do, whether, because I've told my bear story about being between a bear and her cubs, but the bee story, another story where I was surrounded by bees when I was sitting in a meadow in England somewhere playing the guitar, is I lose the edge around me. That's the only way, so that the edge of what separates me from everything else disappears. And then I become part of everything else. So the bears don't bother me. They just walk in front of me or behind me. The bees surround me, but they don't sting me. And that's what I call losing the edge.
Yeah, being
that
part
what
of
separates.
Yeah, that's what I always had that with yellow jackets back east, because they're pretty strong back mm-hmm. then. And if anybody, like my daughter one day came, she had a lot of hair at that point. She came and she had the yellow jackets all through her hair. And I pulled them out one by one and not one stung me. And I did the same with the dog. The only time they stung me was when we were leaving. I went down to swim in the river. Or maybe you separate now. It's time, you've got to go. You know, one of the some. So, but they never, or all the times I encountered them, they never stung. So if you, as I said, it's all from the heart. Mm-hmm. So today, speak from the heart and communicate. Look at the plants from the heart and know that weeds are such strong, helpful, healing plants for us.
And we're not separate from them. We're not separate from anything.
No.
And if we can just practice maybe today or every day if you can, practice losing that edge which makes you feel apart from everything else.
And that will change the way you see everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Your home on the weedy planet Earth.